seen these billboards up nowadays. I guess it's anti-drug billboards, and it says a mind is a terrible thing to waste. I think it'd be probably better worded, it's a terrible thing to waste a mind. But they put it on there, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I'll tell you something tonight, worse than that, a life is a terrible thing to waste. In Luke chapter 15, this prodigal son here, you should notice what he'd done. In Luke chapter 15, you see there in verse number 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. I'd like to preach to you a few minutes tonight, real briefly, on the subject, a wasted life. My prayer is that you young people tonight here will not waste your life. I thank God 1,000 times that I got saved when I did. Hallelujah! I got saved when I was still a teenager. If I hadn't got saved when I did, there's something wrong here. Well, let's see if you work on me a little bit. If I hadn't got saved when I did, there's no telling where I'd be right now. I may be in some honky-tonk playing a guitar. I may be in jail. I may be somewhere crying my eyes out, or maybe already in hell right now. Thank the Lord you don't have to waste your life. I look now and see boys that I went to school with. And you know, I'm getting on up there, brother. I see kids now that was just little when we first started church, and now they're big as I am. And it's hard to believe that we're getting as old as we are. And I look back and I meet boys that I went to school with, and their life is in a wreck. It's a wasted life, and that's a tragedy. It's not how long you live, but how much you live that matters. You've heard the old saying, only one life, and it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I believe that tonight. I believe that everything we do that's not for Jesus is a waste of time and a waste of life. I want to show you three ways or four ways that people waste their life tonight. And I want to just give you a little encouragement. I figure like there's probably some of you here tonight that are Christians that are wasting your Christian life. You got saved by the grace of God. You know you're going to heaven when you die. But somehow or another the devil has tricked you and tripped you up, and now you find yourself wasting your Christian life. Now that's very, very easy to do. I find myself a lot of time getting hung up. And it's like I'm running in a race. And while I'm running through jungles and stuff. I told somebody the other night, I dreamed one time that the Lord was here on earth. And I was following him. And he was saying, now you follow me, Danny. And I was following him, and we was in the jungle. It looked like I thought we was in the jungle. And we was going over little old humps and across creeks and over paths. And I was hitting, and limbs was hitting me in the face. And I was fighting my way through. And I said, wait, Lord, don't leave me, don't leave me. And I was fighting through, and it was a frustrating feeling. And I just kind of woke up wondering if I could keep up with him or not. But I'll tell you tonight, sometimes in your Christian life, you just feel like you get all tangled up. And if you're not careful, you'll just stay right there in that place and stagnate and not do nothing for God. If we could keep everybody that come to this church and got on fire and keep them on fire, we'd be dangerous in this community. But it seems like boy, people really get to doing good for a while, and something happens that'll knock them down. Maybe they have something physical. Maybe they have family problems. Maybe they get their feelings hurt real bad. Or maybe somebody dies that's close to them. Or something, and it'll knock you down if you're not careful, and you'll waste what time God has given you. Let me say, first of all tonight, don't waste your life a-wondering. Many people spend their entire life wondering what they should do. I've met people that 5 years ago, there's a wondering what they ought to be doing, and here tonight, they're still a-wondering what they ought to be doing. They're saying, Brother Danny, I wonder what God wants me to do. Well, I tell you one thing He don't want you to do is wonder all the time what He wants you to do. That's for sure. God wants you to do something besides wonder. You wondering who is really right. Wondering, I know some boys right now. Now you listen, all young preachers, listen to me for a minute. I know some fellows right now that started preaching when I did, and they still don't know what they believe. They don't know what they believe about eternal security. They don't know what they believe about the tribulation. They don't know. All their life they go from one camp meeting to another, and from one clique to another, and from one bunch of independent Baptists to another, hearing this great preacher and that great preacher, and once a time wonder who's right. I used to do that, and I made up my mind that I wasn't going to waste my life of wondering who's right. That I was going to get that book down, I was going to find out what I believe, and haul off and go to preaching it and stand till hell freezes over if we have to, and not waste my life of wondering all the time. Did you know the devil cheats you out of what you could be doing for God of wondering all the time what you believe, or wondering which way is right? I know some of you sitting right here tonight, you've been wondering about things for years. Well, I don't know if we should do it. You're wondering about the bus ministry. You're wondering about knocking on doors. You wonder about how long you should pray. You wonder about this. Well, I'll tell you one thing this evening. What you ought to do is get out in the woods somewhere and settle it between you and God and find out what this book says. And if the book's for it and backs it up, just haul off and go to it. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Many people waste their life wondering how far they should go. I wonder what the Lord wants me to do. I wonder what God wants me to do. Wonder what God wants me to do, preacher. Alright, I can tell you some things God wants you to do. Now, if you're doing these things, then we'll worry about the rest of it. Most people who are always wondering what God wants them to do are not doing the obvious things that God wants them to do. Number one, God wants you to live right. Number two, God wants you to keep your body clean. God wants you to keep your mind right. God wants you to pray. God wants you to read the Bible. God wants you to go to church. God wants you to witness. God wants you to win souls. God wants you to tithe. God wants you to love your church. God wants you to take up for your church. God wants you to love each other. God wants you to try to get your family saved. God wants you to train your family right. Teach your kids the Bible. Train them up in admonition and fear of God. God wants you to be a blessing. You've been doing all that? If you're doing all that, then we'll pray about the mission field or whether you'll be a pastor of a church or something like that. Don't waste your life a-wondering. Don't waste your life a-wondering. Many, many teenagers are worrying or wondering what God's going to give me. What's God's going to do for me? What's God going to give me? I wonder about this. I wonder about that. Here's what you ought to do, kids. Stay busy for God. Go sing with the youth choir. Witness at school. Take tracts. Give them out to your friends. Pray. Stay faithful. When God gets ready to give you something else, He can give you something else. I've heard of people who nearly went crazy wondering what God wanted them to do. I've got 66 books of what God wants us to do. I like the version of the song that says, count your obligations, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord wants done. There's plenty to do. Number two, don't waste your life worrying. I know some people that are chronic worriers. I know some people that are not even happy unless they're worried terribly about something. Have you ever known that? And I see a bunch of you grinning. You know somebody like that, and it's your mother, ain't it? Well, it's your mother-in-law or your grandmother, I'll guarantee it. You spend your worry, 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 worry. You know, their slogan is, why pray when you can worry? They gloat in their worrying. They brag about their worrying. They worry all the time. Listen. I heard somebody said, I have so many troubles. If a tragedy, if lady said, I've got so many troubles that if a tragedy happened today, it'd be 2 weeks before I could worry about it. She had things lined up and backed up, man. You had to wait to get on her worrying list. That's a terrible way to spend your life, where it'll put you in an early grave. You worry about what everybody thinks about you. Some of you would you'd do good for God, but your problem is you're worrying. What would people say? What would people say? What would people say? What would people say? Well, who cares what people would say? You know, when I first started preaching, I worried a lot about what people said. And if I heard somebody said something bad about me, I'd stay up at night worrying about it. It tore me all to pieces. And sometimes I'd call them, or I'd go to them and I'd say, hey, I heard you said this and that ain't right and all that. And you know, little by little, over the years, God's just reckon I got calluses on my hide or something, but it don't bother me. I mean, it still hurts, but it don't bother me near as bad as it used to. You know why? Because I like to kill myself and cause myself a lot of problems trying my best to please every Tom, Dick, and Harry that come in the doors and all the brethren and all the preachers. And I made up my mind, you can't please people, and we ain't supposed to try. We're supposed to be serving God. And I made up my mind, brother, if people want to run their mouth, that's their business, that I've got a life to live, that I'm going to get something done for God whether they like it or not. Listen, I wouldn't be preaching right now if I worried about what some people said. Hey, brother, I've had people tell me for years I shouldn't be a pastor of a church, and God's called me to be an evangelist and this and that and the other. Oh man, I tell you, I just can't worry about it. Worry about it. When you're 20 years old, you don't think too much about what people say about you. When you're 30 years old, you worry a lot about what people think, and at 40, you find out they wasn't even thinking about you, and you just wasting your time. They got their own problems. They ain't thinking about you half as much as you think you are. You can't change nothing by worrying about it. It's ridiculous. Did you hear me? You cannot change one thing by worrying. You can pray and God will do something. How many of you got a problem tonight? Raise your hand. You've got at least one problem. If you don't raise your hand, you know you really got a problem. You're so dumb you don't even know it. But if you got problems here tonight, I'll guarantee you stay up tonight and don't even go to bed, and stay up till 9 o'clock in the morning worrying about it and see how much good it does. You won't be worth a dime tomorrow in your job. You won't be able to stay awake and work. You won't feel like doing your schoolwork. Worrying don't help a bit. It's ridiculous. Now you know, Joe, well, that's easy to preach. Yeah, it is. It's easy to preach and hard to practice. But I read about Corrie Ten Boom, and Corrie Ten Boom was when... Her family, you know, hid Jews back when the Germans were killing Jews. And her family took them in and hid it. And as a result, got arrested and taken to concentration camps by the Nazis. And Corrie Ten Boom was nearly starved to death, was tortured. And of course, as you know, God delivered her. And if anybody in the world had something to worry about, she did. And her statement was this. You hear me? Quote, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Hear me, young people. Hear me, mamas. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. Worry empties today of its strength. Don't worry about being a failure. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm afraid if I started out for God, I'd make a lot of mistakes. Well, I'd rather make many mistakes than do nothing at all. Woodrow Wilson said, I'd rather fail in something I knew would eventually trump than trump in something I knew would eventually fail. I'd rather make a failure of trying to do something for God. Because I know God's going to eventually win this thing. Y'all want to start comparing worries tonight? We could stand up and have a pity party here. We could let everybody in here stand up and tell their troubles. We'd all want to go out and commit suicide after this service is over. Brother, I can look around here tonight. I can see some people with some problems. I can look over this congregation tonight. I can see people who are brokenhearted. I can see people who are hurting physically.
I can see people who are brokenhearted over a lost husband or a wayward boy or a daughter out in sin. Don't you think we ain't got something to worry about as far as the world's concerned?
You think of the...
Hey, I got things to worry about. Y'all, you think about the things that I'm facing in the next few years of my life. If I started thinking about it, I'd want to blow my head off. And sometimes it all piles in on me. And I say, God, how can I do it? God, I can't hold a church, and I can't hold a family, and I can't do everything. God, I'm not able. And the Lord says, you can handle it today, can't you, preacher? I said, yeah, I can handle it today. And he says, well, quit worrying about tomorrow. And I say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I can preach tonight. I can preach tonight. I can preach tonight. I can wave my hands out. Hey, tomorrow will be just like today. If I can do it today, I can do it tomorrow. If I can do it tomorrow, I can do it next week. If I can do it next week, I can do it next month. You know what we do? We let the devil worry, make us worry and worry. What are we going to do? 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 I don't know what we're going to do. But I know one thing, brother. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know God ain't brought us this far to let us down now, and I know God ain't swept through here by the Holy Ghost to let us die now. God don't want us to go in the worrying business. Somebody told me the other day, they said, I heard you was going to quit the church, and I said, wishful thinking. Somebody said, I heard you was going to leave and quit pastoring in Moody Robbinsville. And I said, your prayers ain't answered yet. You're just wishing. You're just wishing. Hate to disappoint me, but if you don't want to see me here, you're going to have to quit. I tell you tonight, brother, listen, I got no sense to know where God is. I got no sense to know what God's will is. And I'm here to tell you tonight, worrying or running ain't the answer. You can't run away from your problems. What good would that do? You say, there's just so much pressure on me, Brother Danny. I'm going to move to South Carolina. Well, you think them problems ain't going to go with you? You got to take this press with you. You got to take your heart with you. Running, you can't run away from yourself, man. Just quit worrying about it. Some of you young people in here, you know what your girl's problem is? You can't serve God for worrying whether or not you're going to get a boyfriend. Whoa. You could do something for God. Just quit worrying about them dumb boys. Dumb, I said, D-U-M. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, bro, I sounded awful. Listen, you quit worrying about... Lord, hell. Maybe I should have went ahead and said it. Them boys is trouble. Them boys is bad news. You know what your problem is? You need to quit worrying about it. You need to quit worrying about it. The girls that's already got a girlfriend worrying that somebody's going to get him. I'm afraid he ain't going to buy him nothing. I'm afraid they ain't going to get roses for Valentine. Listen, you say, but I love this boy. I'm crazy over him and he don't like me. Well, I'll tell you what to do. Beg God to let you have him. When you get out and pray, say, God, please let me have him. Please, God. Lord, let him like me. God, put it in his heart. Why and so ain't going to do it no good. Ask the Lord if that's what you want. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Dumb, it ain't wrong. I'm telling you, listen, you might get something you be praying God to take away one of these days. Don't worry about it. Look at all the advantages you've got. You don't have to answer no. How many boys did you speak to at school? You know, and all that baloney. You don't have to go through all that. Let it go! Wait on God! You say, well, nobody will ever ask me out. Yeah, they will. Put the Lord first. See, you don't have to have Romeo. My soul. Boys the same way. Don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it. I know that's easy to preach and hard to practice. But it'll help you if you'll try to just quit worrying, stop praying about what you want. If you're in love with somebody and they don't give you the time of day, pray the Lord will either make them love you or you quit loving them. Don't sit there and worry about it all the time. Amen? That's right. God knows what's on your mind. There ain't no use trying to fake him out. He knows what you're thinking anyway. You might as well tell him. God, you know this in my heart. God, you know it's there. Lord, work it out. God, get the demons out of me. God, clean me up. God, set me straight. God, let me think right. God, you say, well, Brother Danny, how am I going to pay my bills? I worry about paying my bills all the time. Well, I'll tell you one way not to pay them. Worrying about it. That ain't never put a dime in my pocket, and it won't yours either. Get out there and pick up beer cans or something, or dope bottles, or do something. You can make more doing that. You can sitting home or feeling sorry for yourself. You will not pay a bill worrying about how you're going to pay them.
Go to work. Instead of worrying about the future, you ought to be preparing for it.
I talked to a woman today, and she's been saved longer than I have. And I said, the Lord might come soon. She said, I'm afraid I wouldn't go. And I said, I just talked about the blood like he's talking about this morning. And I said, well, you got the blood on the door, ain't you? Quit worrying about it. Now, if that sister would get out and witness and stay busy for God and win souls and stop worrying about where she's going in the rapture, she wouldn't wonder if she's going in the rapture or not. You see how the devil tricks you. If you'll get out and do something, I challenge everybody in here to do something for the Lord. I cannot stand lazy Christianity. If God has done so much for us, why in the world can't we do something for Him?
Well, thirdly, wishing. Don't waste your life a wishing. I wish I could get some bills paid. I wish I had a better job. I wish I had something to do. I wish we had a nicer house. I wish I had a good car. I wish I didn't have to go to school. I wish I had a whole hush.
Paul said, in whatsoever state I'm in. Ain't that what he said? Whatsoever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. Some preacher said he didn't mean Georgia when he said that. But he said, whatsoever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. They're never satisfied. I've noticed that about some people. They got it bad. They wish they had this, and they wish they had that, and they wish they had this, and they wish they had that. They ain't got a car. They ain't got a house. Then they go in debt and get them a car and a house. Then they wish they didn't have bills to pay. Well, listen, you can't have everything. If you're going to have a nice house, you're going to have to pay house payments. You got rich relatives or something, maybe. You might get by without it. But if you're like me or anybody else in here, you're going to have to pay your house payments if you got a house. Now make up your mind. You want a house and payments? Or no payments and no house? Can't have everything. I want a nice house. Well, you'll get you some nice payments. Nothing's free, brother, but salvation, and it's bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You pay for everything. You pay for everything.
Nothing's free. Well, the fourth thing is waiting.
Some people are wasting their life awaiting, 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 awaiting. Brother Glenn mentioned somebody here might be here tonight not saved. Let me speak to you just a minute. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, if you're here tonight, young man, teenager, and you're not saved, let me tell you something. Listen, you'll waste your whole life awaiting on God, on something, on a feeling, on some catastrophic event, you know, to shake you out of your seat and bring you to the altar. You'll waste your life. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. There's a lot of people in hell tonight that never intended to go there. They just waited too long. They waited too long. You hear me tonight, young man? You hear me tonight, young lady? Every service that you wait and don't get saved, you're wasting your life. Every time you wait one service, you're wasting what God has given you as an opportunity. Don't waste your life. I travel around from place to place. I didn't ask for that job. The Lord just gave me that job. And I know that it's His will for me to go from church to church and preach and try and conduct revival meetings. I believe with all my heart it's God's will for me to do that. And I meet people everywhere I go and I warn them, don't waste it. Don't waste it. Time's running out. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. That's my job, to warn you of that. And I can stand up and scream and holler in front of a crowd of people and make a fool out of myself. And I'm willing to make a fool out of myself for Jesus to warn you not to waste it. While you're waiting tonight, my watch is ticking. It's 1 hour and 10 minutes later than it was when you came in, we started a while ago. That may not seem like much now, but in eternity, 1 hour and 10 minutes, it seemed like a year. Boy, I think about going to hell sometimes. So, the longer I'm saved, the more baffled my mind gets about hell. If we really believed that like we ought to believe it, it would tear us all to pieces. You know why? I feel like it's my obligation to get up night after night after night and scream my lungs off till I get a headache and come out soaking wet every night. Hey, you think it's fun leaving them girls there? I've seen my kids more than one time. And Chris is standing at the door with the door open about that round saying, "Daddy, where are you going?" And I say, "Honey, I'll be back in just a little while. Daddy, got to go preach." "Daddy, where are you going?" And start crying. I had to sneak out the back door lots of times so they wouldn't even know I was gone. Y'all enjoy that, brother. I like to, especially at night time, be with them kids and pull them up in my lap and read them Bible stories. But if I didn't think there's a hell, I wouldn't mess with it. I'd say, "Well, if anybody wants to go to heaven, it's their business. If they don't, they'll just go to sleep." But I believe anybody that don't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior goes to hell and burns forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, help us! That's the most terrible thing. You'd be better off never even been born. Never been born. Don't waste your life awaiting. Let me tell you something tonight. If you need to come and get saved, if you wait till you're ready, you will never come. Everywhere I go, people say, "Well, I'm not ready. I'm not ready." You'll never be ready. The flesh will never want to get right with God. Hey, man, you hear me tonight? I know there's a sense in which a person gets ready, but it ain't your flesh, brother. It's knowing you've got a responsibility to God, knowing you're a sinner, knowing you're going to hell, and acting on that thing. The Bible said, "Behold, now is accepted time." You know, wherever I go, I meet people that's waiting on a feeling. "Well, I just don't feel it, preacher. If I felt it, I believe I could get saved." And I say, "What are you waiting on?" They said, "That feeling." And I say, "Have you ever had that feeling before?" And they say, "No." And I say, "But you know what it is?" And they'll say, "Yeah." And I'll say, "You ain't never had it before, but how are you going to know when you get it if you don't know what it feels like? You might have had it several times and not known it if you don't know what it is." In 1902, Mount Pelee, the volcano, erupted and 30,000 people died. It's like that. You know what the bad part was? They was warned for a solid week to get out of town and they wouldn't do it. They waited too long. Many will stand at the judgment of God and cry, "Oh God, if I just had one more chance, just one more day, God, one more opportunity, I'd get saved." People on the Titanic that night, they said they couldn't believe that ship would really sink. It was the ship they said God couldn't sink. They shouldn't have said that, should they? They shouldn't have said that. That's the wrong thing to say, man. God can't do it. I heard of a man just not long ago, a personal friend of a man, and they said he knew of him, who was a wicked, vile, ungodly man.
He's just an old cuss, and he hated churches and preachers. And one day it's coming a big lightning storm. And buddy, he went out and stuck his fist up in heaven and cursed and said, "Send it down, JC." And turned around and walked across the floor and fell dead, just like that. Dead than 4 o'clock hit the floor. Hey man, you can wait too long. I like the old song that says, "Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. Don't spend your life awaiting." Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.